I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, no one called Saul.
Amazing Lace, how sweet the sound.
Polite British orgasm.
I don't like Steve Zahn's wee.
Everyone does that guy.
Tropical Storm Butthole.
If your tacos are fuzzy, go somewhere else.
These are all bad names for tacos.
Rusty, crusty, musty taco.
The spice world must flow.
6 degrees of Wayne Brady.
Kung Fu candy is scary.
The Colonel's 4 remaining spices.
Cover up your tuna fish with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I am Uriel, and we are Unarius and preparing the Earth people for the great space fleet landing, the starship landing in 2001.
Just look into the little hole.
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Good morning. Welcome back to TMS for Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. I am Scott Johnson. He is Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
I am. That's right. And hello. And
hello.
Happy Tuesday.
Hey, man. Tuesdays. It's not Mondays.
It's taco days if you're into that sort of thing.
If you celebrate.
And I am into that sort of thing.
I am too. Where do you go for your Taco Tuesdays if you had to, you know?
Oh, geez. You know, the town of Arvada.
Yeah.
Just can't get enough tacos for some reason. In the last 5 years, I'd say half a dozen taco places have opened up within 5 minutes of my house. No idea why. I mean, all right, we had a Taco Bell, obviously, whatever. That doesn't count.
No.
But we have Teocalli tacos and Laredo tacos and Tacos del Le Jefe or something like that. Fuzzies in Old Town.
Yeah.
Fuzzy's
Tacos.
But there's another taco place that moved into the old Bella Bistro, and I can't remember what the name of that place is. And of course, Torchy's and Rusty Taco.
I feel like you have all the tacos there. You have
good Lord, we do. And yeah. I still say for bang for my buck, which means a whole different thing when you're in Vegas.
That's
but
right.
For bang for my buck, I would say Torchy's is the winner out here.
Okay,
They fill their tacos. They have a much bigger variety than the other places. And their tacos are chock-a-block full of stuff.
Mm. I like chock-a-block full of stuff. That's how I like my tacos.
Chock-a-block full of stuff. And yes, people are still hung up on the name Fuzzy's Tacos. Yeah, Fuzzy Tacos. Yeah, that's actually an Austin, an Austin chain that moved to Colorado, as I think is Torchy's, as a matter of fact.
I'm a little more bummed out about the term Rusty Taco. I don't think I like that.
Yeah, that was a place that was originally called R Taco, just the letter R Taco.
And
then they finally said, well, the R stands for Rusty. Let's just call it Rusty Taco.
Like, why isn't it Rusty's Taco? Is it a guy named Rusty who started
it? It's just plain old Rusty Taco.
Okay, that's just a problematic thing.
That is an interesting question, because, I'm looking. They're also kind of a chain. I don't know where they originated. Let's see. Let's see if their website talks about the history of Rusty Taco.
Yeah, where was Rusty born?
Our story. Here we go. Story. Oh, fine. Allow them to know where I live, your current location, even though it...
Hooray. Now they know Rusty
Always
Tacos.
The wrong place.
They now know where Brian lives. That's the end of it. That's your screwed.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, tacos are popular in Nevada. Let's open another taco place. Mm-hmm. Our name comes from our founder, Rusty Fenton, who along with his wife, Denise, and partner, Steve Dunn, opened the first Rusty Taco location in Dallas. So, yeah, it should be called Rusty's Tacos.
Rusty's Tacos, not Rusty Tacos.
Yeah, but then you get people who might start calling it Rusty Stacos, or I don't know. They're you know, is there a, I guess there's not really a problem with an apostrophe S there. Why Rusty Taco?
Well, props to everybody out there who has already gone to Urban Dictionary and looked for Rusty Taco.
Yeah, you know, it is far better than a crusty taco. I'll say that. That's, you know, if you're going to add a letter to the Rusty Taco name, don't make it a C and don't put it at the front.
Just put, go all out, say Rusty Musty Taco, Rusty Crusty Musty Taco. There you go.
Yeah,
done.
It's, all of these places, oh, Fuzzies. Fuzzies does have apostrophe S, so it's not just Fuzzy Tacos.
So it's a possessive. Somebody has, it's somebody possessive. Named Fuzzy. Okay.
Yeah, right. And that one did start in, actually, Fort Worth was the first one, but I've always thought of it as an Austin staple.
It's almost like Texas all these, borders Mexico, and they're good at taco food. It's almost like that.
Apparently
true.
So, yeah. Texas sending all their taco restaurants to Colorado.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Keep them coming,
nothing
man.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I have nowhere in particular that I go, oh, those tacos. I used to, but they went away. And I'm sure there's great taco. Well, like Red Iguana is amazing, but that's like full restaurant experience. Like if I want to just go somewhere and get tacos. Oh, Taco Downtown is really good. Sorry. So Salt Lakers, if you're in downtown Salt Lake, there's a place called Taco Taco, which recently just expanded. And those are fantastic. I almost forgot. They are very, very good.
Okay. All right. There
little
you go.
Mom and pop place. There's not
taco,
a chain.
Taco.
Yeah. Tacos, which seems, you know, a little boring and on the nose.
A little redundant, really, if you ask me.
Yeah. But
is it right next to a Little Caesars?
Yeah. He walks out once in a while, stretches, and goes, taco, taco, and then goes back inside.
Exactly. Yes.
Anyway, we're here. It's a Tuesday. We got lots of stuff to do today. I got a fun little plan for Brian here.
Cool.
For gamers, it's a big day. So if you're like, hey, are these guys going to talk about all that stuff? We'll do it on the gaming shows on the Frog Pants Network. We'll listen to Core this week. Big, big stuff from Sony, Nintendo, and possibly others. So don't expect that here today. We did a lot of that in pre-show anyway. Instead, I'm going to stump Brian. We haven't done that in a while.
Okay. It's easy to do, but it's been a while.
But we're going to do it in an area of your expertise. And let's see if I can find a good clip that I want to play for your intro today. How about this one?
Get him out.
Oh. All right. Well, that was random.
Wow,
I didn't expect that.
All right.
That wasn't on purpose, everybody. I got to remind myself to go bleep that. Anyway.
That's time stamped.
We'll figure it out. So I'm going to stump you with some trivia that thankfully Tim, a.k.a. TRPW in our chat room, put this together.
Oh, cool.
It's Spice Girls edition Stump Brian.
Oh, all God. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I know you're excited. Okay. How could you not be?
Yes. I want to be getting all these right.
Yes, you do. Your true worth as a person will now be determined by your additional or by your correct or false answers to these questions.
Hoping my 2 points become one. No, that's not right.
No, that isn't it at all.
That's not it. Okay.
So here you go. Here, I'm just going to jump into these. There's not a ton, so we got plenty of time for these. Here's your first question. And for those at home are like, wait, why Spice Girls? If you've missed it previously, Brian's like a super fan, mega fan.
Let me remind people why.
He's got all kinds of shit. He dreams of it. He lives it. Eats it, drinks it. Oh, look at this right here. Look at this. Look at this poster, right, okay. Spice World. Oh.
Right there. We'll just set this.
You know which one? Sporty right Spice by how grumpy she looks. That's fantastic.
I know. No, that's it's not sporty. It's Posh is or the posh, grumpy I meant. One. She's the one who... She does not like to smile.
Soccer right. wife, I always forget. All right.
Yes.
So we're going to test your fandom here.
Please do.
Question number one. Which early member of what became the Spice Girls was replaced by Emma Benton?
Bunton, sure.
So there was an early member. Oh, you know what? It's multiple choice. I'm sorry. This is good.
Good. Okay. Thank goodness. Because I'm hoping Kate Middleton is on the list.
She seems perfect. But here are your choices. A, Pepe Lerner. Don't know who that is.
Happy learner. Okay.
Sure. Second is Michelle Stevenson, C, Nicole Appleton, or D, Mel Coloma.
Mel Coloma. Because they don't have enough Mels in the group already.
Yeah.
You know what? The name, what was it? Appleton? Victoria Appleton? No, what was it?
Nicole Appleton.
Nicole Appleton?
Mm-hmm.
That one sounds familiar. I think she's a member of the Sugar Babes or All Saints.
Well,
Nicole
Appleton. You know your shit here.
I don't think it was another Mel, because that would be hilarious to have four or three Mels in the group. It'd be like having three people with the last name Taylor in your new wave group.
Yeah, yeah.
What were the other choices?
Pepe Lerner, Michelle Stevenson, Nicole Appleton, or Mel Coloma.
Pepe Lerner. I'm going to say Michelle Stevenson, because if you were making up a quiz about potential Spice Girls, Michelle Stevenson would be the name, would be the correct answer, and you'd make up a whole bunch of British sounding names for the other answers.
I see. This is why Brian's good at trivia. He thinks beyond the actual question and into the structure.
I think about the question writer, but I don't know. I don't know how TRPW thinks. So,
well, let's find out if you're correct. Oh, you're right about this one. Michelle Stevenson.
Michelle Stevenson. Yes. To the McLean Stevenson fortune.
Yep. He left a lot there. Pepe Lerner was the Spice Girls vocal coach who recommended Emma Bunton. Nicole Appleton is a member of the rival group All Saints.
All Saints.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Nicely done. Mel Coloma was replaced by Victoria Adams, Posh Spice, shortly after auditioning successfully. She claims that her voice was considered too good.
So there was a Mel Coloma potentially in the Spice Girls. Yep. Hilarious.
Almost made it. Question number two. What was on the back of Jerry Halliwell's iconic Union Jack dress?
My hand.
Oh.
What?
Here are your options. Two-fingered peace or victory hand symbol. You know, this bill.
We know it's not used for that. Okay. Nope,
but it can't, you know, it can be, I suppose.
I guess this way is peace. This way is not.
Is it? What is this way? Some sort of vagina thing?
That's a equivalent of the F-bomb, the bird in the UK.
So, but you have to do
that's
like
UK
this.
UK bird.
You have to do this where you jerk it up.
Or you do this.
But
it's almost like one of these, too. Like, you know.
For some reason, I can picture Nick Frost or somebody doing that, going like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that's your number one. B, the Tao Jutsu or Taoist yin-yang symbol. So the little swirly deal.
Yin-yang, sure.
C, it was a Gucci little black dress with a Union Jack tea towel stitched on the front. There was nothing on the back.
What the hell? No, I think that's BS.
Okay, and then D, a symbol for the group, the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament that looks a bit like a pie chart. So those are your options. You got the yin-yang, you got the victory hand, you got the Gucci deal.
Oh, like the peace symbol, basically, is what they're describing, right?
Sort of, except it's solid, but yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay.
It's to sort of...
Yeah. I have no idea on this, and I looked at the back of the poster on this one, although she's not wearing her Union Jack dress on here. Posh was known for the little black Chanel deal, so I don't think it was the Chanel tea towel, whatever that was.
Yeah. It's very small.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's the two-finger victory sign.
Let's find out if it is. Is it that? No. The correct answer is D, the symbol for the group for the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament.
Interesting. Yeah. It was the pie chart.
Yeah, it's the pie chart. All right. I still think you did pretty good there on just the evaluation, because that's a hard one. Here's your next one. Mel B is said to have come up with the phrase "zigga zig ah" in the song "Wannabe." What is the meaning or inspiration for this phrase? Here you go. A. That sounded really confident.
The meaning is "get with my friends" first.
Yeah, no doubt. So here's number one. A. It represents the sound of an orgasm.
Okay.
Mine sound Cheeky. Like mine sound. Is that normal? Anyway,
mine sounds like okay. All right, all finished.
All done. All done. We are complete. Move
all
on.
Done.
We have completed our desired output. All right. There's that. B. Is it inspired by Zig and Zag, a pair of popular TV puppets? in the UK. Okay.
Okay.
Never heard of zigzag. C, is it derived from the phrase shit and cigars? Or D,
shit cigars.
It seems like a weird phrase. Why is that even a phrase?
Yeah,
if that's a phrase?
Probably what I want. I'm trying to figure out how it leads into that.
Shit and cigars.
And zig zig. Shit and cigars. No, that's absolutely stupid.
Sounds
okay,
stupid.
Go ahead.
And then D, it comes from the newspaper article about the ziggurats of Ur.
Oh, geez, Louise. I was hoping it would be like, you know, it's some girl power thing.
I think it just sounds like shit nonsense.
Shit and cigars. Shit and cigars. No. Zig and zag puppets. I don't think so either.
Yeah. How about that orgasm sound?
The orgasm? Maybe. Maybe now I'm thinking, maybe I'm leaning now towards the orgasm.
But who goes zigga zigga?
Someone who really wants to distract their partner.
I guess so. Really ruin their night.
You know what? Let's say it's the orgasm.
All right, let's find out. Is it? Nope. Oh, the correct answer is shit and cigars.
Really? Shit and cigars.
It says the girls had to share a bathroom at the studio with an arrogant 80s pop star who had the nasty habit of taking a dump in the shared kazzy, they call it. So let's see. While smoking on a cigar, so they refer to him as Shit and Cigars. That's the name of the guy. They
really
don't say who the 80s pop star was, though. I would love to know that.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Was it Sting? And they're going, I can't come out until I finish me.
Andrew Ridgely. That's who it was. It was Andrew Ridgely. Really? Shit and Cigars.
Of all the 80s pop stars, of all the 80s stars, who would you least like to, especially, let's keep it to British 80s pop stars.
Okay. All right.
Which one of those do you least want to be next in line in a toilet? Like, who do you want to not follow?
Oh, geez.
In my head, it's Bob Geldof.
Yeah. He doesn't look like he showers much, does
no.
he? That's a really good...
He'd take a bad poo. Just know it.
I think Billy Idol could probably throw a deuce, man. I think he could wreck a bathroom. I would have said Meatloaf, but we're talking British artists.
Yeah, we're talking British here, folks. Meatloaf would be fine. I mean, Meatloaf is a great choice. There's nothing wrong with, you know, Meatloaf. And if we want to extend it to, like, all eras, I mean, I bet Tom Jones leaves a real, real bummer in there.
Oh, yeah.
Why George Michael, Biocow?
I don't know. Why? Yeah. I don't know. I've heard George Michael was very pleasant in the bathroom.
Oh, ask your recent relatives if you're too young for that reference. That's awesome. Elton John,
Yeah, Elton John could probably
wreck it pretty good.
Right.
All right, next question. You ready for this? Oh.
Yeah, I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, this is weird.
Okay.
Oh, okay, I cut off part of it. So now I have the actual question. Here we go. Which Spice Girl has the most obvious connection to Monty Hall?
To Monty Hall of Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah, this is a weird thing.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And your options are Emma, Jerry, Mel C, and Victoria.
Sure. Oh, really? So we're leaving...
We're leaving somebody off.
Leaving Mel B out, it sounds like.
Who's Mel C? Which one's she?
Mel C is Melanie Chisholm. That would be Sporty Spice.
Gotcha. I know. I can't keep them straight. Anyway, okay. which of those do you think has a connection? Or the
connection of Monty Hall?
Yeah, which I will then tell you after, you know, that you need to guess who. I don't know how you'd ever know this one.
Yeah, stab in the dark. Let's say it's Emma Bunton.
Let's find out. Is it Emma Bunton? Yeah. Nope, it's Jerry Halliwell.
Really? Okay.
Here's her connection.
Oh, really? Halliwell. I might be, you know, that might have been a smart thing for me to say. Well, Hall is in the first part of her last name. Jeez.
Oh, it's not even for that reason, though. Here's why.
Okay.
Let's see. Halliwell was a presenter on the Turkish version of Let's Make a Deal, the game show co-created and originally presented by Monty Hall. So that's their connection.
So she was, okay, so she's as connected to Monty Hall as, what's his face? Wayne Brady.
Or Mike Brady, or any of the Bradys. All Bradys. All right, here's your next one. This is, let's see. Okay, here we go. In 1997, Jennifer Saunders, the co-writer of the movie Spice World, put together a spoof Spice Girls pop group called the Sugar Lumps. Who played the Baby Spice / Emma Bunton analog in The Sugar Lumps? And here,
really?
Here are your options. I didn't know this existed. Did you?
Didn't know that either. No, I know she's absolutely fabulous. She's half of that deal. And
Sure.
French and Saunders, comedy duo French and Saunders. Okay, go ahead.
Let's, I didn't know that. I knew her, but I didn't know they were. I didn't know they were part of that. Anyway.
Yeah.
A. Cilla Black. B.
Priscilla.
What did I say? I'm just Cilla. My eyes are shit.
I think it's just Cilla Black.
You are correct. B. Dusty Springfield. C. Lulu, not to be confused with the book publishing website.
Sure.
D. Sandy Shaw. So you got Cilla Black,
God.
Dusty Springfield, Lulu, and Sandy Shaw.
All four are much older performers. So what year did she put this thing together?
1997.
Okay.
25 years ago.
All right. I don't think Dusty Springfield is still alive. I could be wrong. You know her from the Son of a Preacher Man song.
Oh, I like that
song.
The
only boy who could have is the son of a preacher man.
That's a great song.
It's such a great song.
Yeah.
I don't think she's... Lulu, you know, from To Sir With Love.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I can't think of the lyrics to that one. Cilla Black, Sandy Shaw, big UK. I mean, I think all four of them are big UK artists, but
yeah, they're all UKers, I think.
Sandy Shaw still doing stuff. At least as of a few years ago, I got sent a new cover that Sandy Shaw had recorded. I can't remember what it was, but because of the fact that she's still doing stuff, yeah. I'm going to say Sandy Shaw.
Okay. Let's find out if you're correct. You are incorrect. The answer is Lulu.
It was Lulu. Really?
Yeah. The rest of the Sugar Lumps lineup was Jennifer Saunders as Jerry, Kathy Burke as Mel C, Dawn French as Victoria, and Luella Gideon as Mel B.
Interesting. Wow. And there you go. Like French, you know, French and Saunders both contributing to that one. Wow. Yep.
And for those who are like, I need to see more about this, I'm putting a link to the YouTube in the chat there so you guys can see it. Well, next question. I don't know how you're doing.
Are you sure that's the thing? Because I thought that's the video for Who Do You Think You Are?
He included it saying it was this, but maybe they goofed. Maybe he goofed and pasted it.
Oh, gotcha.
Around.
Okay.
He might have put it in.
Oh, yeah. It does. It looks like it does have all the Alterna spicers in there. Okay.
Alterna spice.
I'm putting that in my queue to watch later.
Nice. Nice.
Yes. All right. The Sugar Lumps version.
I don't know where we're at score-wise. Someone in the chat hopefully is keeping track.
Sucky is where we're at. I think I've only gotten one right.
Well, look, now's your chance to recover. Here you go.
Yeah, okay. All right.
When recording the video for the single Say You'll Be There,
yeah.
The Spice Girls came up with alter egos. What was Victoria / Posh Spice's alter ego?
Oh, geez. That's right. They showed alter ego names at the beginning of the video.
Mm-hmm. Here are your options. A.
Okay.
Midnight Miss Suki. B.
Oh.
Trixie Firecracker. C. Kung Fu Candy. Or D. Katrina High Kick.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. As soon as you said Midnight Miss Suki or something like that, that's the one that that sprung into my mind. I want to say that those were names for all of them, and I want to say what Princess High Kick I think was Sporty.
I will tell you that. Let's see, High Kick. Well,
I'm already ruling that one out. So if I'm already wrong by saying Princess High Kick, then.
Yeah, I won't tell you until you pick.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm gonna say it's Midnight Miss Suki, and I think the other three were like Dynamite. I think was Halliwell.
Mm.
I think Chop. What was it? Suey. What was the?
Oh, the other one was Kung Fu Candy.
Kung Fu Candy, I think, was Scary, and I think Princess High Kick was. Sporty.
All right, so we're going with Midnight Miss Suki. Let's see if you get it. Congratulations,
good
you did
deal.
It.
Okay.
Actually, some of those others are wrong, though. Mel C was Katrina High Kick. Jerry was Trixie Firecracker. Emma was Kung Fu.
Mel C is Sporty. That's what I said, was Princess High Kick.
Oh, no, wait. Oh, this is more about me not knowing who these women are. So you're good.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, I should have said their full names and their fake names.
I can't.
So
pick,
what were the
I
other two? I'm sorry.
Match them up. Trixie Firecracker was Jerry. Kung Fu Candy was Emma. Victoria was Miss Suki, as we said. And then Mel B was Blazin Bad Zula, who's not on our list.
So I got Emma and Mel B incorrect.
I don't remember this video at all. Like I have no memory of it.
Oh, you'd love it. They're like in a post-apocalyptic wasteland and they're...
Oh, then I'm in. Let's do it.
It's actually... I'd say it's the best of their videos.
It does feel... Those names feel like people I've done missions for in Cyberpunk, which I'm playing right now. So everyone of those. Yeah. All right, here's another one. Which of these dance style mix-ups do the Spice Girls call out in Spice Up Your Life?
Okay.
So here are your options. A, hip-hop, the Lambada. B, moonwalk the foxtrot. C, waltz the salsa. And D, flamenco the polka.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like it's, they're doing this whole...
Yep.
Such a dumb song. I think it's the last one, though. I think it's foxtrot the polka.
Let's find out.
Yeah, that's the last one, right?
The polka one is moonwalk the fox... So it's moonwalk the foxtrot flamenco the polka.
Flamenco the polka. That's, I'm going to say it's flamenco the polka.
Correct answer is moonwalk the foxtrot.
Moonwalk the foxtrot. Okay.
Yep. Right. The original lyrics were flamenco, lambada, but hip hop is harder or hotter, as they probably said.
Yeah.
Probably. We moonwalk the foxtrot, then polka the salsa.
Ah, polka the salsa. That's what I do when I'm almost done with my Mexican food restaurant.
Same. People don't like it when I double poke the salsa, though. They want me to just single poke it.
That's right.
All right. Last of three questions. Here's your next one. Which Spice Girl video was shot in a terraced street called Carnew Street in Dublin?
Oh, I bet I could even... I think it's Stop. But
I'm going to tell you
all the choices.
Here are all your options. Say You'll Be There, Mama, Stop, and Two Become One. Brian is correct with Stop.
Stop. You're going in and out of all the little doors, and it's really fun.
I remember that video vaguely.
Stop right now. Thank you very much. Sure.
You know, they're ahead of their time. If Britpop was having the kind of resurgence that, say, K-pop is having right now, imagine how huge that band would be. It'd be so
big. They'd be enormous, yeah. And there's still, I'm still holding out hope for a Spice Girls tour that comes somewhere near me. Maybe, I'd go as far as Vegas or Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Ready to go.
That's as far as I'd go.
Would you go
I don't know if I'd go New York or Miami or something like that.
Would you go Oklahoma? Would you go there?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the Spice Girls are really going to hit the Tulsa.
Well, I don't know.
Arena.
I don't know if they've got the chops they used to have. So maybe.
Now playing at the Cheyenne County Fair. Yeah,
the day's in.
Branson, Missouri, Spice Girls.
All right, here's your second to last question. Which Spice Girl covered the Spice Girls song To Become One with Robbie Williams in 2019? Was it Mel?
I don't know about this.
Was it Mel C, Mel B, Victoria, or Emma?
I want to say that was an Emma song, and she put out a lot of covers. Let me see here. I noticed you're giving me everybody but Posh, which is smart because Posh really hasn't recorded much since she married Bex.
Yeah, she just has soccer sex all day.
She has the fashion. Yeah, she does her fashion line. She does some charity stuff. Let's see here.
Never Smiles. That's the deal.
I feel like that was always an Emma song anyway, the Two Become One. I'm going to say Emma.
Let me see, Brian. I feel like you're on a bit of a roll. Did he get this one right? He did. It is Emma. Nicely done. Final question. This is, I think if you get this one right, you've officially won the list.
Okay. All right.
If you get it wrong, then you lose everything.
Oh, God. Right? Yeah, that's fine. Boy, no pressure. Jeez.
Here goes. In the video for Goodbye, each of the remaining Spice Girls gets surrounded by falling objects. What falling things does Mel C get surrounded by?
I think it's soccer balls, but let's hear the...
Here's your options. A, paper. You ever seen paper?
Paper?
Look at it. B, the an exploding chandelier. D, or sorry, C, toilet paper rolls. like it's 2020 all up in here.
Sure, yeah.
And D, plates.
Oh, okay. So soccer balls not on the list.
Not on the list.
Yeah, yeah. This goodbye song was because Jerry had already left the band, so it was really just the four remaining Spice Girls.
The Colonel's four remaining spices.
Right, exactly. It's like when Fifth Harmony became four.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to say, all right, paper and toilet paper. I'm going to cancel each of those out because I don't know why. It just doesn't feel like.
Doesn't feel like
it. It feels like if you're going to create a multiple choice, you wouldn't have both paper and toilet paper because it'd be too easy. Well, paper is a kind of toilet paper, or toilet paper is a kind of paper. Or whatever.
That's right. And in a pinch, I could wipe with a piece of paper if I had to.
I've done it.
Yeah.
Let's go with an exploding chandelier. That one feels out of place, and I love me a good out of place guess.
Well, let's find out if Brian's wild approach to this answer is correct. It is a correct answer. Nicely done. Victoria gets paper. Emma gets toilet paper rolls. Oh, they're both in there?
Emma gets toilet paper rolls? Really?
I thought you were going to be right about that, but nope. Apparently paper and toilet paper were there. Mel B gets paper plate. Sorry, just plates. There's no paper plates. Sorry.
It's all paper products. This video is sponsored by Chinette.
Yeah, there you go. And then, of course, Mel C with her exploding chandelier. I think you did real well on this list. I think we can now all officially say that Brian is the biggest Spice Girls fan, you know, and certainly the biggest one I know. I don't know anyone
else. I mean, Claire was up there, though. Claire was getting the ones that I got wrong. She was getting those correct. If we were Voltron, you know, we could join to form one super Spice Girl fan.
I guess so. She likes them more than I know. She's not one for the monarchy.
She really doesn't. She just said, "I effing hate the Spice Girls."
Though. Oh well, then so take Spice Girls, the monarchy, and the Pope, and all three. She hates them. She can't stand them. F them all.
Lee, no kidding. Yeah. Jeez.
What do all those things have in common? She hates them.
By the way, TRPW is threatening Squeeze next. Bring it on.
Oh, that
one. That one I feel like I can
do it.
I can answer up and down.
I love that. That was really cool of you to do that, Tim. So thank you.
Very cool.
For that. And send me more, and I'll be happy to do more of these Stump Brian segments. They're really fun. Okay. Yeah. We are going to take a quick dive into all things. You know, I'm going to borrow recommendals for a minute. Because it's a form of Hollywood, you know? You got the Hollywood types or whatever.
Well, it's definitely a form of Hollywood.
Sure. It's not like it used to be. In the 70s and 80s, those two worlds never collided. But now, actors are all over the place because TV's cool.
What you're saying. I mean, they still film a lot of TV in Hollywood. You're talking about like your Hollywood actors, your movie actors, and your TV actors.
Yeah, you had your people on Love Boat, and then you had real actors doing movies. And it felt like there was a big difference. But anyway, the Emmy Awards happened last night, a thing I did not watch because I don't care about awards that much. But I like the sort of who won business. And so we're going to get into that real quick.
I partially watched it while I had the Broncos Seattle game in front of me.
Oh, how did that end? I didn't see the final.
Oh, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It was they had like 40 seconds left on the clock, fourth down and five yards, and our coach, and his name is escaping me, decides he's going to run out the play clock and try and get our kicker to kick the second longest field goal in NFL history. Hackett, exactly.
How are you gonna it would have been
Russell
amazing.
Wilson there, he can get you a first down, call it, and they had three timeouts.
Yeah, that's
it's not
lame.
Like they didn't even have any timeouts. They had three timeouts. You go for that first down, you get some yardage, you maybe get some more plays going, but you keep hitting those timeouts so that you can, unless you can get them out off out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then once you get closer, then you trot out the kicker. You don't say, "Oh, let's run this out and just see how it goes."
I don't know why you would ever put that on anybody in the game like that, especially this early in the season, to say you're going to be required to make the second longest field goal of all time.
Right. It was baffling, that move.
That's really weird. Now, had he done it, we'd all be losing our minds today. It's all anyone would be talking about. So maybe he was aiming for like one of those moments, but boy, that's a big risk, man.
It's a huge risk. And yeah, there we go. It's like, it's the 64-yarder, the second longest field goal kick in, field goal kick in NFL history in an outdoor stadium in Seattle, where you've got the fans screaming and trying to be as distracting as possible. And to his credit, he had the distance, you know, our kicker had the distance. It just veered left a little bit. And sadly,
yeah. Look at that thick ocean air, that sea air, man. It's all fishy and shrimpy. Ew.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So let's talk Emmys.
Here's your winners. We got the outstanding drama series went to Succession, which pissed a lot of Better Call Saul fans off.
It's a tough thing because Succession's excellent too, right? I mean, we look at that whole list is full of.
It's really everything drama on there is good. Yeah. I mean, I was personally hoping Severance would make everyone look dumb, but but that's the genre lover in me. But Better Call Saul, I think everybody just kind of had settled on this idea that it had like 43 nominations over the years, hasn't won any of them. Breaking Bad, they wait to the final season and then you get your, you know, you get your Return of the King awards.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen, man. It's a bummer. So
it really is. Yeah.
But whatever. None of this matters. It's all fluff and marketing.
It is.
Outstanding comedy series went to Ted Lasso.
What a surprise.
Yeah, big shocker there. Doing pretty good.
Yeah, again, you know, you've got What We Do in the Shadows and Abbott Elementary, which is just brilliant, and Barry, which is questionably a comedy series anymore.
Yeah, that's a weird one on that list because it does veer so hard. This last season was very little comedy.
Ooh, it was dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abbott Elementary, by the way, had the one show from a network, regular network TV. Everything else is streaming. We are in a new world, you guys. Outstanding limited series went to The White Lotus. This one over Dope Sick, Dropout, Pam and Tommy, Inventing Anna, all those.
Yes. Have you watched it yet?
No, I keep hearing amazing things, and you've recommended it.
I recommended it in August 2021, and
it's time.
Now maybe people are gonna listen to me.
Yeah.
But Timothy Zahn, Connie Britton, who we both love
her,
Jennifer Coolidge, who danced her way off the stage because they were playing her off and she was in the middle of her speech and decided, all right, I'm just gonna steer into this.
That's awesome. When she last night I celebrated by watching the episode of Seinfeld where she gives Jerry she won't give Jerry the massage. She refuses. She's so good in that. Anyway, that's good for her because she's great. We love her.
Yeah.
Your outstanding lead actor in a drama series went to Lee Jung Jae for Squid Game. That was a record breaker. That's cool.
Surprise over Odenkirk and Jason Bateman and Adam Scott for Severance, Jeremy Strong and Brian Cox for Succession.
Was Bateman on there? I didn't see him on there.
Yeah, Bateman was.
Oh, this list is screwed up. It says Brian Cox, the Lee Jung Jae guy, Bob Odenkirk, Adam Scott, and Jeremy Strong. They left him off.
No, Bateman was a nominee as well.
That's not very nice, them leaving him off.
No.
Not cool at all. All right. Well, anyway, so whatever. Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I mean, Squid Game got a lot of surprise love last night.
Now, here's one I predicted, and I was sure of it when I saw the episode where she was going through withdrawals.
Because
I watched Euphoria, and Euphoria is a weird mix of things, and I'm not sure. Like, it's not the kind of show I'd go, that's the best show on TV, and like, not even close to saying that. But she absolutely blew my mind with her acting, especially those couple episodes where they were dealing with her drug arc. And man, at that time I went, if she doesn't win for this, then we're effed. Well, she won and then went home to Tom Holland and he sprayed web all over her. That sounds terrible.
Oh, jeez.
That's horrible. Why did I say that? Why did I go there?
Zing, zing. Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, that's the only series in that category that I've never seen. We watched The Morning Show, Reese Witherspoon, Killing Eve, of course, Jodie Comer, who I think is who's my next wife, Laura Linney, Melanie Lynskey, Sandra Oh, also from Killing Eve.
It's a good list, man.
It's a great list, and good for Zendaya.
Yeah, she's great. She blew my mind. Like, everyone wants to go, she's just another one of these ex-Disney stars who's this and that. No, I think she's the real freaking deal, man. Plus, she just seems down to earth and cool. She's usually, she attempts to be in her pajamas as much as possible, and I don't blame her. All right, here's an outstanding supporting actor in a drama. You got your Matthew McFadden for Succession.
Yeah.
This was a tight one. Yeah.
Tom Wemskins.
Plus, you had like three other Succession people in that list or something.
Right, yeah. You had Nicholas Braun, who's his foil, like the goofy, Greg, is it?
Greg,
I think.
I think Greg, yeah.
And then Kieran Culkin. But then you also, then you had like John Turturro and Christopher Walken, who are like, you know, like so elder statesmen in that list.
Yeah, especially Walken.
Especially Walken.
I love John Turturro's performance. I loved it.
The two,
He blew my mind. I'm like, oh, this will be fine. He's like a secondary character. I'm sure it's enjoyable. Man, that whole series was, for me, that was the John Turturro experience. I freaking loved it.
Yeah.
All right. We got outstanding supporting actress in a drama series. Went to Julie Garner for Ozark. She's awesome. She her career will see no bounds. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series went to Ted Lasso's Jason Sudeikis. Again, not a huge surprise. I kind of thought Bill Hader was going to get it, personally. But
Bill Hader, or again, Steve Martin. Martin Short for Only Murders. Donald Glover for Atlanta. Again, that was another category, a packed category of great actors. Even Nicholas Hoult, who you know, is in something, some movie or something at some point.
He's he's in he was in a little thing where he had these two tumors on his neck, and he named them Larry and Gary or something. let's see. Outstanding.
That's because we didn't mention it earlier when we were talking about the post-apocalyptic wasteland for the Spice Girls video. There you go, folks.
There you go. We put it in, and there's your sign. All right. Lead actress in a comedy series went to Jean Smart for Hacks. I've heard nothing but good things about that role. I have not seen Hacks. I should probably see Hacks.
I haven't seen the new season. It's next up on our list.
She's great, though. We already love Jean Smart.
So sure.
We knew this before the freaking Academy did. Let's see. Brett Goldstein for Ted Lasso for supporting actor. That's coach, right?
I can't think of his character name. He's
the beardy guy that's pissed all the time.
The beardy guy. Yes.
Yeah. He's
putting
great.
In a Herculean effort onto that show, man.
He's great. I love that guy. Does a cool podcast, which I only have heard a couple episodes from, but he's very good.
Sure. Roy Kent. Yes, of course. Roy Kent.
Roy Kent. Duh. There you go. Outstanding supporting actress in a comedy went to Cheryl Lee Ralph from Abbott Elementary. I keep hearing she got up and sang or something.
She did, yeah. She sang I Am an Endangered Species. Didn't recognize the song, but it got a standing ovation from folks.
She a good singer? Belted it out?
She's all right. She was a loud singer. She didn't even need a microphone. She just sent that out there.
Okay.
Because you know what, they did something interesting this year that I really approve of, and I'd love to see them do this for the Oscars. Is that while they were giving their speeches, they apparently every nominee gave the TV Academy or whoever a list of who they would like to thank, and they showed that list at the bottom of the screen. So instead of wasting their time saying, "Oh, I need to thank Frank Martinez, and I need to thank Joe Belinsky, and I need to thank all the folks at Warner Entertainment. I need to thank my agent, Bob Frankberger, and
Bob Frankberger. I know how you came up with Bob Frankberger."
But anyway, instead of wasting all that time with that stuff, they could, you know, they could then talk about, you know, the experience or the role or you know, why. Really, it was more like a chance to say, "I can't believe I was up against all these great actors, and I shouldn't be the one up here. One of them should be the one up here." Blah, 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 blah.
Sometimes they have a cause they want to get up there and do or whatever. Yeah. So, did they, from what I could tell, and I only saw photos, so I didn't watch any of this live, there was like a weird circle around the stage, like people were all around it.
It was a, it was a theater in the round.
Like comedy. Comedians will do that sometimes. It's like a...
Sometimes. It was very, you know, thin in one part. So it was like if you took the circle and moved the center, the nucleus, back. So there was really only room for one row of tables behind you and all the important people were in front.
Yeah.
But it made for some interesting moments of people kind of photobombing or moving their heads so they knew they were in the shot in the background.
Wow, that's awesome. It looked cool. I mean, from what I could tell, I'm fine with that. It looked different.
It was cool. You know, it was boring as hell. Let's face it. I don't want to slap every award show, but even, you know, give us something like give us a Jack Palance doing one arm push ups kind of moment. And we just didn't have any of that.
What was interesting is I found the craziest news story. This year was really low viewing. It was like under 5 million.
Yeah, not surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a big surprise, but under 5 million people watched them. More people last night during the time slot, 5.8 million people.
Yeah.
Watched one of the BTS guys. I don't know what Lin, I think.
Oh, really?
Okay. Watched him sit in his pajamas and play video games.
That got better ratings than the Emmys?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Which tells me that traditional media is not prepared. They're not ready. They don't know what's... No. They don't know when these things are going to come, when they're going to happen, and when they're going to explode. And last night, a completely... I assume Twitch got a bunch of money for this, or wherever he streamed it from.
Yeah.
But they beat the freaking Emmys. It's amazing.
That's amazing. What we, you know, the reason I like these shows is because it lets me know about other shows I should probably check out. Because you almost can't trust Rotten Tomatoes anymore or Paste Magazine saying, here are the 5 shows that you aren't watching right now on Netflix that you need to be watching. So this is a way of saying, oh, yeah, okay, I really like that actor. I didn't know they were doing this other thing. So
yeah, I'm with
you. They just need another, they need a Rotten Tomatoes, a vetted Rotten Tomatoes version that just says, hey, here are the 10 best shows of the year. And we don't need a winner. We don't need a best this or best that. Just give us, like, you know, here are the 10 best shows as rated on by critics and not people who signed up for a free account to cast their vote.
Yeah. Or people that are, you know, I don't know. Now I'm starting to get nitpicky and gatekeepy, but like, should we let if a guy's a blogger, is he a reviewer? Do we let him in, or do you, what is the limit?
I think you need to have a degree in critical review. You can get a degree in critical review.
And, all right. There's a standard then. Let's do that.
And I feel like that should be the standard, because then you're able to hopefully factor out, I had a shitty day. Boy, I really didn't like Abbott Elementary, or, I don't like, Asian people. So boy, do I not like Killing Eve, or whatever. Like, you know, anything that, where you kind of take those other biases out and can give an objective review.
Tally in the chat says younger generations don't give an F about older generations' opinions. Tally, welcome to humanity. It's always been this way.
Right.
It's always been this way. I didn't care what my parents said. Yeah. You don't care what yours said.
Hence the phrase, you're not my dad.
Yeah. It's been around forever, man. I mean, that's as old as time. Yeah. All right. Let's move on
And maybe, Tally, that's why you haven't watched White Lotus yet.
Yeah, get in there. Get that done.
because I'm an old generation that recommended it to you.
That might be. Old man Ibbett and his recommendations.
Yeah, come on. Go watch a TV show about a guy who shits in a suitcase. Come on.
Wouldn't you
go
want watch. That? Do you want that in your life? I know I do. Yeah.
Don't you want to see Steve Zahn's ween? Come on.
Always and forever. I remember watching Saving Silverman going, man, Steve Zahn, if you could just show me your penis.
If I'd only see his ween.
Yeah, please pull it out.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Here's your next winner. You got Amanda Seyfried for The Dropout. She won for best outstanding lead actress in a limited TV series or movie, beating out a bunch of people. I never saw that. You see that? Was it good?
I did see that. I recommended it. And she was good. Hands down for me, Margaret Qualley and Maid. She should have won that category. She had... you saw Maid, didn't you?
I don't think I saw Maid.
Or maybe Kim watched it. It's one of the best things I saw last year, and it's about a woman who gets out of an abusive relationship and goes out on her own and has to become a maid to make ends meet.
Oh, and Kim did see this, and she loved it and said I should watch it, and I haven't watched it.
You should watch it. It is so good, and Maid was, and Margaret Qualley was just phenomenal in that. Like,
when you say her name, I think of DJ Qualls. Is that weird?
very different person. But yeah. You do have to tell me if you're a cop, right?
Best thing you ever did. Let's see. Best supporting actor in a limited series or TV movie went to Murray Bartlett for The White Lotus. Beat out a whole bunch of people.
He's the guy who shits in a suitcase.
That's right. three White Lotus on there.
Yeah, it did really well. Yeah.
Steve Zahn, Seth Rogen, and Murray Bartlett. Is that Seth Rogen's first, like...
Not Seth Rogen, Coolidge won for White Lotus.
Oh, he's in Pam and Tommy, sorry. You're right.
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
Jake Lacy is for White Lotus, yep.
Yeah.
But that's got to be Seth Rogen's first nomination for anything, right?
I think so. It has to be.
That's kind of cool. Did he just go, I'm not going to win?
Right. And yeah, Telly, that is the guy who was on Drag Race Down Under. He's definitely it. Yeah, the cast of White Lotus got up on stage for their win. And Alexandria Daddario with kind of a see-through outfit.
Oh, my gosh. Missed that. Okay, yeah. Well, need to catch up on my...
need to go look for that one.
Get my Daddario on, if you know what I'm saying.
Get your Daddario on.
Outstanding supporting actress in a limited series TV movie. This thing was so packed with White Lotus people.
Yeah.
Cindy Sweeney, Natasha Rothwell, Alexandra Daddario, as you mentioned her, Jennifer Coolidge.
Cindy Sweeney is Euphoria, yeah.
This says Sydney Sweeney, White Lotus. Did they
really
do this wrong?
Wasn't Sydney Sweeney...
Maybe they did.
Oh, that's right. She was in White Lotus. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. She's in Euphoria as well, though.
Oh, that's her.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who that is. Okay. I didn't realize she was in White Lotus. She's interesting human. Anyway, they got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in this category were all White Lotus actors, and it went to Jennifer Coolidge, who rightly refused to give George or Jerry a massage. Outstanding reality competition series went to Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls. I haven't seen it. Here it's funny. Good job.
Yeah.
Well done. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no opinion on that because I don't watch any of these. So do you think any of these should have beat that? Or
What was it? Which category was that? That was because I'm scrolling to these as you say them. Which one?
Reality competition series.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing because I was saying RuPaul's Drag Race. Oh, the series itself. Hold on a second. Yeah.
Because we got the
structured,
RuPaul.
Unstructured competition. There we go. Competition program.
And it went to the Lizzo deal.
Nailed it. RuPaul's Drag Race. Amazing Race. The Voice. Top Chef. Amazing Race has won every year, it seems like. No, RuPaul has won every year.
Yeah.
Used to always be Amazing Race.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think The Voice is fails at the one thing that it tries to do, which is say... We're going to pick people and make them successful completely not based on their looks, but only based on their voice. And it starts out as that, but it definitely doesn't end up as that.
I agree. I don't like that show for that reason.
Yeah.
Feels bad.
I've seen Nailed It. I've seen RuPaul's Drag Lace again and The Amazing Lace. Let's just do all of it.
Brian's not doing an offensive Asian accent, we promise.
Oh God, no! I'm really. Yeah,
he's just mixing lace and race. Okay, everybody.
I'm just mixing lace and race. So sure, Lizzo deserved it. I don't know.
Sure,
I haven't seen it, so I can't really say.
I just am sick of her song that I need a man or woman to pump me up. This thing and the stuff and the deal. I'm sick of that. All right. Outstanding variety talk show went to Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, doing great work over there.
He really is
up against some pretty good stuff. How come Jimmy Kimmel laid on the stage? What was that about?
No, it was a joke. He and Will Arnett came out and, Jimmy has been nominated for that category several times for talk show several times. And as a joke, Will Arnett said that he just overdrank. And so he had to just drag his passed out body out on stage.
Oh.
And Jimmy Kimmel kept the bit going he committed to it. He did not. The only time he broke character is when, Quinta from Abbott Elementary, asked him to hold her phone.
So he laid there the whole time. Because somebody was pissed that he was doing it because they felt like it was like they overdid it. Like they just overstayed its
welcome.
No, I think
it's great that he committed to the bit. I think it was, Will Arnett, you'd expect something like that from him and Will Arnett. You wouldn't expect it from Martin Short and Steve Martin, you know?
No, but I do love that those two old best friends, Steve Martin and Martin Short, nominated in the same category.
That's amazing. And got up together and
that's
presented and with Selena Gomez, who... has definitely shown that she's not just a pop tartlet.
No, I love this. I love this in her career. Yeah. She ran the risk, deserved or not. She ran the risk of like, oh, she's just another, you know, like one of these leftover Bieber girl, whatever things. And she's not that. She's got real talent. No, she's super smart.
She really does.
She's great with those two. Like that seems like, and they also seem like they've got like a legit friendship between them all. And
was she was in that Spring Breakers thing, right? The the Franco deal. I need to see that. I hear it's
weird, man.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I really like the music. Anywhere? I shouldn't say I like all the music. I really like some of the music in that movie, and I think it's trippy and weird. It's almost like the vibe of Miami Vice meets, it's kind of Euphoria a little bit now that I think about it.
Yeah, because I was going to say, doesn't it get really dark with some like prostitution or
sort of? Well, Franco's character is horrible.
Horrible that's what human. I hear is that he's
like good in it, but he's a horrible person in it. And gotcha. Apparently he's kind of an ass in real life. So maybe it fits, but, anyway, there's that, final one, outstanding variety, sketch series went to Saturday Night Live.
What?
Yeah. You might be familiar with it, Brian. It's been around for a while. And, never wins anything.
Category of two shows, the Black Lady Sketch Show and Saturday Night Live. And we really weren't expecting to win this one this year.
Yeah, so we're so I can't do him like you can. My version of him is all broken.
Too much listening to Fly on the Wall.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because Janie Carvey, every chance he gets.
Yeah. Everybody, even Spade does that voice.
Yeah. No, they all do. Look, if you worked with that guy ever, SCTV all the way through SNL, all those eras, of them probably do him. And why not? You know, he's that guy.
For sure.
Well, there's your fun list of who won and who didn't, and we're all better for it. Let's take a break. When we come back, Bobby Frankenberger will be here. No relation to Bob.
Not Bob Frankberger.
Bob Frankberger, no. We can't get him. We're too highfalutin for that guy. But we got his non-union equivalent, so we're excited about that. That's coming up for a little bit of science. Bill's out. He's got COVID who knows, from his last trip where he got it. Who knows? But he's doing okay. Just getting lots of rest. Talked to him last night, and should be fine.
Hopefully mild symptoms.
Yeah, he's all vaxxed up, and you know, it should be mild. Anyway, and he's right to be resting. That's the key. I talked to another doctor yesterday about a whole other issue, and I said, this far into the pandemic, what's the over-under on all that stuff? And he says the number one takeaway is rest like your life depended on it.
Really?
It makes a huge difference. They say they've got patients who have horrible case, but they rested hardcore and now are doing great. And then they got people with mild cases who just... Mm-hmm. Decided kept to not care and kept going, and as a result, they've got really effed up long term symptoms. So,
oh God, okay.
So some of that stuff still
rest, Bill. Please, jeez, don't try and make any props during this time.
Yeah, props to you for not making props. All right, hey Brian, let's play a song. Do you have a song we can play? What do you got?
I do. A band called King Buffalo. Big thanks to Jason Sargent for finding this one, a TMS listener and person who contacted the band and said, hey, can you want to play these guys? Got approval and sent it over to me. From Rochester, New York, a band called King Buffalo. It's the trio of Sean McVay on vocals and guitars, Dan Reynolds on bass, and Scott Donaldson on drums. They formed in 2013, and their heavy psych band has released 4 EPs, 4 full lengths, and tours with the likes of Clutch, All Them Witches, Uncle Acid, and The Deadbeats, and The Sword and Elder. Their 5th full-length album just came out at the beginning of this month, thanks to Stickman Records in this one as well. Here is the song Avalon by King Buffalo.
It's a diorama based on Walt Whitman's poem, Cavalry Crossing a Ford. We made it for you.
Would you like to pet my poopy?
This is the Morning Stream. AM!
And we're back. That song once again.
That song was Avalon by the band King Buffalo from their brand new album, Regenerator.
Regenerator. Starring Jeffrey Combs.
Might as well. Yeah. Might as well be.
Yeah. What was that one called? Oh, Reanimator.
Reanimator, yeah.
Did we film sack that? I think we did.
I think we did. If we didn't sack that one, I think we sacked one of the sequels. We definitely saw one of the Reanimator films.
Yeah, I think we did. We must have.
Because I'd never seen any of those, and I'm pretty sure now I know we've seen one, so... Yeah, had to
least,
be that.
At least one. I could go for a sequel. Yeah. All right. Hey, everybody. Listen to this.
Science.
Last week's co-host of the podcast on Thursday is back. It's Bob Frankenheimenberger. Hi, Bob. How do you like your new name?
Hi, Bob.
Cool with that? You feel good about it?
I don't know how I feel about my alter ego being revealed.
It's only a matter of time.
It's really, it's a horrible alter ego, by the way.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a good one. But we're glad to have you here,
Brent Ibbotson, or something like that. Like it's a.
Everyone really enjoyed your appearance last Thursday. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thanks everyone.
Yeah, you held down the fort, kept Brian's little seat nice and cozy and warm.
You did.
That's all we needed.
Oh well, you say that because you haven't figured out the. What I did changed the I just changed the height on your
computer chair
a little bit just to annoy you.
Oh, so not enough for him to notice really that it moved, but enough to know something.
Just enough
wrong.
To give you back problems.
Yeah,
sure. Well, I stand up for the show, so you know.
Yeah,
jokes on you.
Yeah, plus Brian.
Jokes on you.
Brian Febreze's everything.
Effort
to death.
Wasted.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just dumps Febreze on there. Anyway, it's good to have you back. We are going to talk some science today, though, because this is your science segment. All Around Science is your podcast. Bobby follows this stuff each and every day. What is going on today in the world of science?
Well, I was noticing. So it's August. It's about midway through
September.
September. Sorry, I was looking. I'm looking at a chart with month
science
names.
Good.
I never claimed to be a calendrologist or whatever they call them.
Sure. I like that name. That's cool.
That's people who drain pasta, by the way.
Oh. A colander. Yeah. I get it. Very nice.
Yeah, calendrologists.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, sure.
They're butt doctors, too.
Oh,
sure. Colendrologists. Sure.
I was looking at the calendar, noticing that it was September and not October or August, and I thought, it's midway through hurricane season, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if most people, you know, we pay attention to that here in the Southeast.
Sure.
Sure.
You have to.
The hurricane season. Yeah. And it's been a particularly light hurricane season.
Mm-hmm. I feel like by now we would have had, Tropical Storm Butthole is just off the coast of Florida and we're all battening down the hoo-ha at this point. Like that, I don't feel like we've heard that this year. We usually do by now.
We have not. And it's been particularly mild. There's only been... At this point in the season, there's only been 5 named storms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we're only on E, is what you're saying?
Yeah, we're only on E. And then when you're driving a car, that's a bad thing.
Yeah. You don't want that. So I guess we got names coming up. Fiona, Julia, and Carl, but we don't have them yet because there aren't storms to name yet.
Carl.
Get back in the ocean, Carl.
Get back in the Atlantic, Carl.
Yeah. Anyway. Only 2 of the storms have even become hurricanes.
Okay.
And there's been no major storms this year at all. So that's unusual, not only because it's light, but it was predicted that this was going to be a particularly bad year.
Yeah.
They predicted that we would, over the course of the season, have 14 to 20 named storms, 6 to 10 hurricanes, and 3 to 5 major storms. And... because they're predicting a 65% increase from last year, and that's just not what we've seen so far. They're thinking that it would be really big because of La Nina persisting in the Pacific.
Sure.
Which is happening.
A lot of the coverage says things like the season's just running behind schedule, or the way they're covering it is saying, oh, it's just going to happen later than usual? Or do you give any credence to that, or is that just a bunch
well,
of
maybe they're looking at the same calendar I am, and that's why they're behind a little bit.
Sure. They still think it's August.
They're doing their August.
You know, it certainly could be, right? Because the Midwest has experienced the West and the Midwest have experienced a heat wave that we haven't seen in a long time, and that could easily have an effect on what we're seeing in the Southeast.
Right? I would assume
yes.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the question, right? Like, why are we seeing such a weak season? And yeah. there are some theories as to why.
Oh,
sure. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about them because it has to do with what actually makes a hurricane happen and what can disrupt hurricanes and stuff like that.
Sure.
The reason they think so far... Now, to be clear... The analysis hasn't been done. It won't be done until the hurricane season over. We won't know for sure. We won't have as good of an idea until the hurricane season is over what might have been the reason why it's been weak so far.
Right.
But the thing that they're thinking is causing it is dust over the Atlantic that's coming from the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
So that
we don't want their
sometimes.
Dust. We don't want their dust. They could keep that.
Yeah, no, Saharan dust.
Yeah. That's lame.
It's the worst kind of dust is the Saharan dust. But it goes, it gets blown over out from the desert and over the Atlantic Ocean and in huge plumes. I'm going to give you a link here in the
chat.
Oh,
I like links.
If you want
to
look at it.
Let's do it.
It just shows you an image of what these plumes are and how far they can go.
Oh, look at that, man.
Oh, jeez, that's
pretty
crazy.
Obvious to see what the dust is in this one.
Yeah, if you're having a picnic, cover up your freaking tuna fish because this is bad. This is going to come over and wreck you. That's gnarly.
Well, the Sahara is pretty big with a lot of sand and dust. So if it gets picked up by the high winds over there, because there's also not a lot of trees in the Sahara Desert to slow the wind down, it can get really blown over the ocean. And it can go all the way over the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean and cause problems. So why would it happen? Why would dust disrupt the hurricane season, right? And they've looked into it. Back in 2020, there was a statistical analysis that was done and some studies that were done to see if this... It was always hypothesized that the dust could be having an impact on hurricane seasons, but then they wanted to look at what the links really are. They found that, first of all, dust blowing over the ocean. Do you know what the things that are needed are to create a hurricane?
No. Well, you need cold...
Hot and cold front hitting each other or something? Or
it's
low,
a collision of high and low, cold and hot stuff, right?
Or temperature, pressure.
Listen to Brian. You and I are such meteorologists, clearly.
If it's like a McDLT where the hot side stays hot and the cold side stays cold, it's fine.
Yeah.
So a tornado...
If the tornado slides into the hot side...
So tornadoes are hot and cold fronts coming together, usually in the right conditions, can create tornadoes. Hurricanes are made by interactions between hot and cold air. You're right, but mostly what you're looking at is high ocean surface temperatures.
Yeah,
the ocean surface heats up, and that can create convective lifting of warm, moist air that causes hurricanes. It's complicated how it happens, but it has to do with very fast rising wet air going way up into the atmosphere and then getting so high that it falls back down, and then the spinning of the earth causes all that wind or all that fast moving air that's going up and falling back down to start to spin into a very large storm called a hurricane.
Right.
So the two main things that are needed then are high ocean surface temperatures and humidity, moist air, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what they think the dust from the Sahara interrupts. First of all, they have found that there's a direct correlation between dust storms, dust plumes coming in from the Sahara and lower ocean surface temperatures. So during and after these weeks-long dust storms, the ocean temperatures, the surface ocean temperatures drop. So that saps some of the energy out of the ocean that would be used to create tropical storms that become hurricanes.
That's interesting. Right? I can kind of, it's weird. My logical, what is left of my logical brain can totally make sense of this, because what it sounds like to me is the dust is a particle, it's a cloud of particles that are heavy-ish, that are, it's almost like you're dumping sand on water or fire or... Mm-hmm. Or anything else. It's just it's kind of a heavy, disruptive chunk of matter, right? So, why? Of course, it would have an effect.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't exactly what effect and how much effect. I mean, I'm not going to be schooled on that, but it does seem like this makes sense. Get a little sand in there, screw it up.
It's a lot of dust. And even small amounts of. So, what I think is happening I didn't read any. Explanation like they know 100% why this is happening, but I'm pretty sure what's happening is that the clouds are just blocking the sunlight, which makes it so that the sunlight can't warm the surface of the ocean as much, right?
Right.
So that's the one thing. And then also the sand, the dust, is taking some of the humidity out of the air. So humidity in the air is just when the air is warm enough. You've got space between all the molecules in the air, and water vapor can live in there and fit in there. And that's what the humidity is. The more water vapor that's able to be in the air, the higher the humidity levels, right?
Sure.
So if you have other particles like dust going into the air, it does two things. It will combine with the water vapor and maybe drop out. So it actually pulls the water out of the air. But also the stuff that's in the air is taking up space.
Yeah,
it's making it so there's not as much room for water in the air.
Yeah,
and so you have less humidity, which is needed to power a hurricane.
Think of it as like a kid in Walmart puked all over the toy aisle, and they came in with a big bag of wood shavings or sawdust, and dumped it all over the barf to kind of soak it up and create a more manageable situation. That's all this is. It's a barf in Walmart. That's what we got.
We use kitty litter.
Oh, that works, yeah. Anything that kind of coagulates and, pulls all the...
It's non-flushable barfed up kitty litter.
Right.
Exactly. So do you think... I mean, I'm not saying that this... So this is nature's, business, right? Nature's doing this. This isn't us doing anything. Does anyone look at this from scientific...
That's the brand of the kitty litter we use.
Yeah, nature's thing. This is nature's thing. Do you think that anybody... Are there any scientists sitting around going, perhaps we could harness the dust every year at a certain time of year and artificially throw it over here, and that will just slow all this down and create less chance of a hideous whatever? And what's a few grains of sand in our egg salad once in a while? You know what I mean? Like, you think anyone's
that? I'm sure that some scientists are saying that, but the rest of the scientists are like kind of looking at him out of the corner of their eye and trying to ignore him as best they can.
Yeah, pretending that guy doesn't exist. I get it.
That's fine. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Kind of turning away from them at the lunch table, Yeah.
Old Stan Erickson with his bad ideas. He's always there.
Yeah. Anyway. But because you don't want to blow dust around if you don't have to, right?
Is that true? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if they find a way to stop massively destructive hurricanes, and that way is to inject the conditions that the sand is doing, but create another way of doing it, maybe less intrusive or less, less actual
sand. Or wildfires,
sand.
Like direct the sand over to the wildfires that are going on.
Or any of that stuff. Like, it seems like if nature's figured out a way to slow hurricane season, well, then why couldn't we?
Certainly nature's not, doing this with purpose.
Sure. Right. Yes.
And this, so I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
That you're asking. But I would say that it sounds very much like it's venturing in the unforeseen consequences territory.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's like, hey, what if we bring these particular turtles halfway across the world? Those will eat those bugs we hate. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we have too many turtles. Right. Well,
introducing an invasive species.
Yeah. So bring in the wolves. Wait, now the wolves are reproducing at too high a rate and they're eating our farms. Okay, now what?
Right.
Shoot all the wolves.
Right.
Like, yeah, I get it. I don't.
One of the.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the other interesting things that they think is happening is that is a knock-on effect of the ocean surface temperatures cooling. So the ocean surface temperatures are cooled off by the dust, but also the dust storms actually have another effect of making the surface temperatures of the land, the continental surface temperatures, get warmer because of them. So they think that the interaction of those two, a warm area on the land next to a cooler ocean, will create higher wind shears, which basically blow away the conditions that would make it easy for a hurricane to form.
Sure.
So it blows off the top of the hurricanes and makes it so that they can't form. So,
well, it's interesting.
And we've been seeing a lot of Saharan dust storms this year. The first ones were being reported in June. There was another one in August. So it seems likely that that's what's happening.
Were they big ones, like, you know, Mad Max Fury Road style, huge ones you got to avoid at all costs, or are they?
They have really big dust storms there, so much so that the coastal cities and whatnot that are in line of them have to, you know, stay indoors for, you know, days in order to avoid all the negative effects of allergies and whatever, you know, respiratory issues.
there's Brian with one right there.
Good, so, timing, yeah, really,
yeah,
on that.
Yeah. That was excellent timing. That was a real, yeah, that was a beast. I think you got it all out after that one. That,
oh, geez, sorry, I should have muted. I, yeah, thought I was far enough away from the mic. Yeah.
No, the timing
good
was
job,
awesome. Timing was incredible.
ILP 30.
Yeah, nicely done.
Sorry, folks.
Well, anyway, you've instructed us once again in the world of science. That's what matters here on the show.
So people are wondering, though, is this gonna mean a more intense rest of the hurricane season? Like, mm-hmm, once, like the latter half?
When the dust settles. That's what we're asking. What happens when the dust settles?
When the dust settles. Yeah.
Get it? You guys get it?
Right. Oh yeah, we get it.
I think
we
got it.
So there is a chance that this'll have a kickback effect and go into high gear the second half. And it's not. It's my first thought was when I was hearing people or reading about people asking that was like, no, that doesn't have anything to do. It's not like the Earth is keeping track and saying like, well, we got to get our quota in. But then I was reading a little bit more and listening to some meteorologist talking about this, and it's not unreasonable to think that it could get more intense in the second half because of the weak first half. And the reason is that the cooling effect is only happening on the surface of the ocean. So one of the things that hurricanes do is churn up the water and actually has an effect called ocean upwelling, which causes cool water from deeper down to be brought up to the surface.
Mm.
And so when that doesn't happen, overall ocean temperatures increase. And so that's what's been happening. And it has been recorded that ocean temperatures are increasing this year. So it could be that once all this settles down and the dust isn't blocking the warm surface temperatures, that we might see those warm temperatures, like higher than average ocean temperatures, cause a rough latter half of the season.
Interesting. Okay, so that lends a little credence to the concept that this is just a delayed effect. Like maybe
it could be that we're just prolonging the inevitable. You know.
Well, we have Kim has a lot of family down in that zone of the country, and we'd really like them not to be underwater or swept out to sea. So
yes.
Good job, dust.
Most of them, anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of the term dust, there's an amazing book by Hugh Howley called Dust, which I highly recommend. Just want to throw it out there. You guys should read Dust. It's very good. If you hate deserts and anything to do with the idea of big, vast, unending apocalyptic deserts, maybe don't read it. But I loved it. It was really good.
I'm surprised that you like it.
Yeah, I know. Really? It's a shock, isn't it? I like these big desert settings. It's weird.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, well, Bobby, it's been a pleasure as always. Why don't you tell people where they can get more of your fine commentary all around science and the podcast with that very name?
Yep. The podcast is called All Around Science. We talk about science news and just science stuff every week, and this week's no exception. Our episode that came out yesterday, we talked about fatbergs.
Oh, right. The ones you mentioned last week, the big trash heap berg things that we've built.
Because this is the one in the sewers, right? Is the fatbergs?
Yeah. Yeah, it's gross.
Rinse oils and fats and everything down your drain, they get they can cause gigantic double decker bus sized clogs in the sewer, and they're very disgusting. But the chemistry about why they form and everything is really interesting, because it's not just. I used to think it was just, you know, like bacon grease, how when you leave it out, it coagulates and firms up again.
Yeah.
And so I used to think, oh, vegetable oil should be fine to go down the drain then, because it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
That's not true, because it's not just that it's cooling and coagulating. There's a chemical reaction that causes stuff to happen. It doesn't matter what kind of fat it is. It'll happen.
Is there a dystopic future of like cyberpunk future where we're all living on a giant fatberg because there's one big enough out in the ocean that we can just build on it and subsist on a fatberg?
Or fatberg mining operations.
Right. Yeah. Because suddenly it'll be like, oh, we're all out of wet wipes. They're the most valuable material on the planet. How do we get them? We got to mine the fatberg.
Yeah. That's how you, because there's a worldwide wipe shortage.
Yeah. Right. Everybody, all those millennial men trying to get their balls clean or whatever they're doing. Right. They got to go mine the fatberg for it. That's fantastic. All right. Great. Well, this is good news. Check it out. All Around Science, wherever you get your podcast. Bobby, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye, Bobby.
He's just saying what his favorite band from the 80s is. He says you too.
You too.
Crick,
don't let Claire hear that.
Yeah, don't let Claire hear it. She hates everything we bring up. Here's a thing.
Send and receive email.
This is an email from a listener named Bruce who had this to say about our Prius abundance in Seattle conversation, talking about all the Priuses and the Lyft drivers with Priuses and stuff. Says, I have a little info to help you understand why. I got in a taxi or Uber in the Seattle area several years ago. I've lived there since 2010. And I asked the driver, why so many Priuses or Prii, he says.
Prii, I like that.
He said he'd been running a small cab service for years, and on average, between the lower maintenance and reduced fuel consumption, his Prius has saved him. I can't remember the exact figure, but it was several thousands of dollars per year, three or five maybe.
Wow.
Compared to similarly sized all gas cars in his small fleet, given the number of miles each one was being driven. He had started with one Prius, and then as each other car needed replacement, he replaced them with Priuses. There is also a lot of crunchy granola types here, and many, many of them would drive a Prius. Lots of them are now getting Tesla Model 3s. My kids and I play Tesla. I I used to play Beetlebug when I was a little.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Play Tesla, like spot the Tesla? Is that what you
exactly.
Do?
Did you never play Punch Buggy, I think it was, or Punch Beetle or whatever.
Oh, like, Punch
Beetle
Buggy.
Beetle Bug or Slug Bug, I think was what people called it.
And you'd hit your brother in the arm if you
saw
one before him.
You'd hit your friend every time you saw, whoever saw first Volkswagen would get to slam, hit the other one in the arm.
But he says they quit doing it because they'd start counting six Teslas at one intersection. Decided it was not as much of a game anymore. So
yeah.
Anyway, it says for a long time there are three types of Prius drivers. Number one, taxi/car for hire. Number two, normal drivers. Number three, really bad drivers. Often ones who are in competitive mode to just see how many miles they can squeeze out of a gallon. Presumably used for bragging rights at the bars. If someone randomly swerved into your lane without signaling, it was generally a Prius driver checking his MPGs. See you next TMS Vegas, Bruce. Cool. We will see you there. So that makes a lot of sense. I guess the savings alone, though, that part surprised me. $3,000 or $5,000 a year is a lot if you're doing gig driving, right?
For sure. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you? I feel like your Kia and other Kias are also in that boat. Like lower.
I still get just under 30 miles to the gallon in my Kia Soul. Mm. So it's not bad, but it's nothing compared to what I'd get per gallon in a hybrid or obviously no a gallon
full electric,
a full EV. Yeah.
Are you, does that interest you at all? Like as a,
for sure. Yeah. I'm looking at the Kia Niro, either the hybrid or the EV for my next car.
I didn't know they were working on a full electric. That's cool. I guess everyone.
They've got a couple. Kia does, yeah.
Let's see, Kia Niro all electric. I want to see what these are. So yeah, is that a thing I can buy like now?
It's a thing you can buy now. It's a thing you could even buy. I think there was a 2022 model. But the new 2023 is probably what I'd be looking at.
These aren't bad.
Yeah, and then there's the Kia EV6. I mean, there's a lot of.
That's cool. I like Kias. I used to not, yeah. But I like them now. I kind of want that. My neighbor has a Nissan Leaf, and I think that car is pretty cool. I hate the name, but mm-hmm. I like the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leaf is just a stupid name.
Leaf
is dumb.
So yeah, if you see a couple of them, do you say those are Nissan Leaves?
Yeah. if it's a whole parking lot full of them, it's for sale. Is it Nissan Leaves or Leafs? It's got to be Leafs.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a thing.
Probably Leafs, but I like your
probably
idea.
Probably Leafs, but
I like your idea because it's more consistent with the English language. I like it.
Right, right.
Well, Bruce, we're happy to have had your email. And if you're like Bruce and would like to send something in out there, it's themorningstream@gmail.com. Themorningstream@gmail.com. Quick reminder, today at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time, myself and Brian Dunaway will be hosting an episode of Play Retro where we talk about Zelda 1 and 2 for the NES, that being the Nintendo Entertainment System. Yes, that's right. Our retro love is aimed directly at Link and his adventures today on Play Retro at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv, or get the Play Retro podcast wherever you get your shows and listen to it there. Brian, you got anything else today before we go?
I don't. No, it's catch up week, so I'm going to catch up with Hammond. We're going to talk about the next season of Soundography, and then catching up on some more freelance.
Fun stuff. Those at home who have if you have,
I mean, Hammond thing, yes, but the freelance.
Sure, sure. Now, if none of you have, or if some of you listening to my voice, and I know there are many of you that have not decided to jump into our Patreon, now's a great time to do it. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to go. You can be like Michael Hennessy and Aaron Newkirk, who are both new this week. Newkirk is new. Thank you for joining us, Aaron and Michael. You guys are awesome.
Newkirk.
Yes, indeed. If you want an always commercial-free good time with bonus content at the top and bottom of every show, look no further than patreon.com/TMS plus a bunch of other monthly and weekly benefits. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Let's get out of here. We need to play music. Do you have music to play?
We do. Little sad one, our sad dedication here. Robert Hillman, also known as Loki Robert when he's in the chat room, sent this one in. September 1st would have been his 32nd year anniversary. Sadly lost his wife to MS in November of 2007, so 15 years ago. So sorry, Loki Robert, that's rough. The song you requested is Time in a Bottle, that Jim Croce classic, and I've got a great version of that song here. It's by Leaky Lee, who released this as a single in 2018. Has a very cool electronic feel to it. Going out to Loki Robert, here is Time in a Bottle.
That sounds great. Let's play that. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of TMS. We would love it if you all came back and listen to us again. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
If I could say time in a bottle, first thing that I like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, words could make wishes come true. I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them. Time with. Oh.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I'm in fourth grade. I have a girlfriend.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.